Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, April the 13th, 2026. 18 and a half minutes past the hour, 64 degrees here in Marion. Not bad at all this morning. Good way to kick off your Monday morning. Not totally sunny outside, but not too bad. It's certainly not continuing to rain, the rain that we saw overnight. Well, here we are on a Monday morning. And, you know, sometimes Mondays are a little slow because you're coming off of the weekend and kind of all the news has been played out. Boy, we do not have a slow Monday morning this Monday. If you want to do national news, if you want to do state news, if you want to do local news, we can pretty well go anywhere this morning to talk news. Big stories all over the place. I guess we can just sort of kind of go over these things. Apparently, I believe at, what is it this morning, 10 or 11 a.m., President Trump has ordered a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. We'll see what happens there. No peace agreement this past weekend as J.D. Vance met with the leaders of Iran, the new regime in place. So what's going to happen when we try to blockade the Strait of Hormuz, which has been the big fight over the last week in regard to this 2-week ceasefire that's not even a week old yet, will be a week old tomorrow. What's going to happen in Iran? I don't know. Will there be a fight there? I don't know. And apparently in the midst of this, Great Britain is no longer backing us. Probably our strongest ally. They are not for the blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. They have come out and said that. And the Pope is not for it. The Pope is not for a lot of things right now, and the President overnight attacked the Pope in a tweet. Now, it doesn't seem like the Pope really cares, but, you know, to attack the Pope in quite a lengthy tweet, that's something you don't see every day. So there's your national news. I don't know what the deal ever was in Iran. I don't know why people thought there would be a deal there. Apparently, there was not a deal there. And President Trump this morning is saying that he doesn't care if Iran comes back to the table or not. So that's the national news in a nutshell. Okay. Then I guess we can come to local news here. We've got a full city council meeting tonight. I always like to let people know that. We've got a full city council meeting, 6:30 tonight, second floor of City Hall. That's something that a lot of people enjoy attending from time to time. Not really sure if a budget has been turned in or a plan has been turned into the state to fix Marion's financial crises at this particular point, but maybe we'll find out tonight. I don't know. It's getting close to the 15th, middle of the month here. Not a whole lot of other stuff on the agenda, but I would have to guess that somebody tonight is going to talk about the fact that apparently the city of Marion, I want to get this right. I think it's the city of Marion. Is it their Facebook page? Is doing a survey to see how people want to deal with curbside recycling? Although, I don't believe it's been eliminated yet after 41 years. Apparently, the mayor can do that unilaterally. I don't think he's done that yet. And you also have the bus fares, which I don't think have gone up yet, although that was in the mayor's plan back in February, and getting awful close to the deadline here to have a plan to the state of Ohio. You know, I don't really know. 740-383-9944. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good, lovely Monday, Sean.
Oh, you know, it isn't a bad Monday. It's a little overcast, a little balmy out there, but not bad other than that.
I think we were getting it handed to us last Monday, weren't we? Or we had just gotten it handed to us? over the weekend.
Yes, yeah, it was chilly last Monday, kind of cool. Yeah, after Easter. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take this. And my basement is not wet, so I will take this
although,
morning.
Although we did get the rain overnight, the rain they said we were going to get last night didn't come till overnight last night.
You said that, and I went out and checked my rain barrel, and I didn't get any rain.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't outside in the middle of the night, but got a little bit because there was rain coming off of my garage this morning.
Huh. Well, it missed us over here on the west side.
Like so many things do, right?
Exactly. Progress, police, you know, all those things. The rain, we're just completely ostracized over here.
Well, I thought I'd leave the opening. If you're going to leave an opening like that, I'm going to, you know, go right for it.
I called because the poll for how we would like to handle recycling, because we aren't actually allowed to give feedback to the people that rule us. We have to submit it through the internet, and then they'll consider our responses that way. They prefer nameless responses with no responsibility attached to it, so they can just see how we voted. But our options are, Lee is going to love this. When I read it, I immediately thought of Lee. We have the option of raising our bills $5 a month to continue curbside recycling through Rumpke. It will no longer be through the city of Marion. Or we can take our recyclables to the city garage. That's it. Those are our two choices.
So now, would it cost anything to take them to the city garage?
Whatever it costs you in your time and gasoline to get them there.
So not horrible.
Okay, I have no issue with the city garage because it's 3/4 of a mile from me. What about the people that live on the east side of town? Are they going to see the city garage as such a convenience?
Well, I'll tell you, and I listen, $5 is $5, but...
Now listen, you're also having to cross both sets of those tracks to get to the city garage where there's a good possibility the train might be stopped. So,
well, true.
Put that into the feasibility study.
Right, but well, the Rumpke option, $5, $5 is $5, but that doesn't seem like a horrible option.
No, I would pay the $5, and I don't know if it's like you sign up on a list and Rumpke comes to your house and you pay the $5. I'm cool with that. And then everybody can put their recyclables with mine.
Well, this just goes to prove what I have said now since February when this first became an issue. People would not like...
It's not going away permanently.
No. People will not like this. People will fight this. The League of Women Voters already came out against this. The city had no choice but to find another option because this just was not going to float.
Somebody told me that I needed to go back through the times where things were wrapped in paper bags and glass bottles and see how we lived back then. And I said, Marion has recycled for 41 years. I'm 47 years old. Why are you telling me to literally go back to a time before I was alive? Are we talking about progress? Or are we talking about going back to the 70s?
Well, you got to give Mayor Collins and the administration some credit here, because I assume they are the ones that came up with this, that these are two fairly decent options to keep something that people do not want to see go away, and because of these options, it will save the city about $500,000 a year.
And saving money is great. Options are great. They could have asked for some feedback other than either or, and you need to go. How many people don't have the internet? How many people don't know to go to the city website? When you go to the city website, it's not even on the front page of it. You've got to look for it. So it's not all bad, but it's not all good. Does that make sense?
Like, well, should
we be grateful that we're not being ruled by decree for a change? I mean, is that what we're supposed to be happy
well,
about?
I'm not sure that it's that, but here's the thing, and again, I just gave the administration some praise, but here's where
I am too, because they're not just unilaterally making a decision, they are asking for some input.
But here's what I don't understand. Clearly, they have a media list to get the word out for things, and if they were going to run a survey like that, why did they not let any of the media know that they were going to do that, and up until this moment, they have not let anybody know? And I don't quite understand why they do. It's almost like they take two steps forward and one step back.
Yes.
I don't understand it, because I think this survey would have been greeted very well. And if you had sent it to media, you could have put a line in there: City Hall is open from these hours, and if you would like to vote, if you don't have access to the internet, come to City Hall and vote.
Yes. Or, you know, along with our little either-or, because that's what they're giving us, an either-or, maybe a little comment box that says, hey, did you put one of these recycling stations on the east side of town, too, for people that can't make it all the way over to the west side to the city garage?
Well, I mean,
the city garage is almost out of city limits.
Well, I would imagine Rumkey's going to win out here because people like stuff done at their home. But yeah. I just can't imagine that. See, that's we've had a long-term joke on this show that the mayor doesn't want to come on for whatever reason. I have learned over 2.5 years at this point, I just don't think he's good with the media in any form or fashion.
I don't think so either.
And that's
like,
the problem.
Like, on the spot talking, I don't think he's a good impromptu speaker. And I'm not saying that to be mean.
No.
Not everyone is a good... quick on their feet.
But even like this, right? Even like this thing with recycling, that is not handled right in conjunction with the media. And this would be a chance where he could get out and say, hey, listen, I'm the mayor and this is my plan and we've got to save $500,000 and this is how we're going. This would have been something that he could tout very well.
Yes.
And
yes.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he could have spun it in that this program has cost us $500,000. And we can't sustain it the way it is, but here's my solution so we can still provide recycling to the residents of the city of Marion.
Yes, and
so
I don't...
So we can still save the earth. You know, I mean, he could have really spun this into his
yes,
favor.
Yes, he could have said, I've listened to the League of Women Voters, I've listened mm-hmm. to the citizens, I've listened to the people around me. Recycling is important.
These are the options that we've come up with. Tell us which one do you think would best suit you, instead of, here's your choices, go vote on the internet.
Well, and I don't even know how people became aware of that. I mean...
I found it on the internet.
That's
Someone else was talking about it.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's just unfortunate. I don't know why that happens, but apparently it does. But
they even have on their own website, that on the city's website, how much trash each person can create a day. I think it's like 4 to 5 pounds. And they're talking about the importance of recycling to keep some of that trash out of the landfill, not just for the preserving the earth, but for the cost. The more garbage we take out there, the more the transfer station charges us. So if we can divert some of that garbage and have it recycled, it costs us less money.
So I guess this leaves us with the hot potato now, which is bus fares, and nobody seems to be talking about that.
Yeah, I think it's sad that if they go ahead and do that, because that's going to raise such a nominal amount of money that surely we can come up with $5,000 somewhere else in the city budget and not put that onto the least of our neighbors. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that in Jesus' terms.
I'm still trying to figure out, because the original plan back in February saw for the 100% elimination of the out-of-work tax credit, and that did not happen. That was cut in half and passed as a 50% tax credit. So that other half, I'm still not sure where they're making that up in their plan to the state. See, there's a lot of stuff that's ambiguous here, and I don't think anybody even... Is there a hard
deadline? In a budget of, like, $30 million, if you can't come up with $300,000, then you got a problem.
Well, yeah, but the problem is, the mayor laid out a point-by-point of what, for transparency's purposes...
Scott, they also said that our budget was going to be $5 million, $6 million less than it is, went ahead and passed us $5 or $6 million deficit budget after they said they weren't going to.
Well, and herein lies the problem of, so what's this plan going to look like?
Denied.
Well, down the chute that will go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I don't know. I would hope people, because this will be one of two council meetings this month, I would hope that people would be there, because the docket seems kind of light tonight.
When the dockets are light, that's when you got to wonder what they're going to slip in on matters not on the agenda.
Well,
that's when they typically do this stuff.
Well, that, but also, I would hope that this would be the time that people would start asking questions in regard to a lot of other things on matters not on the agenda. Hopefully, this was my whole gripe last week with council meetings being on the internet, is that people can't be there to ask questions. So hopefully that happens tonight from the citizens. And, you know, I think people might just need...
How's this? Hopefully they answer the questions that people ask.
Well,
you can stand up there and ask them for years and they'll stare you in the face and do nothing.
Well, I just think, listen, and I'm not saying the flock camera issue is not an important one. It is obviously important to a lot of people. But with the budget pending and a lot of things that are going to affect a lot of people's lives daily, financially, in the city, nobody from the city has said that the grant was given. Nobody has said that any money has been put in that direction. There's still a month and a half before that has to come to term in late March, the whole flock camera thing.
You know, okay, but in the scheme of things, wouldn't they need to start passing or start talking about it now?
Well, I think they are in press release.
But I mean getting readings through council.
Right, right.
They need to be passed.
Right, and they're not. So the fact that they're not would say to me I would be much more concerned about the budgeting issues right now until we get into May, because we know that the corrective plan has to be to the state auditor in April. Maybe worry about the flock cameras in May. You know, people can do what they want, but that just seems to... Because they're going to be here through the end of May anyway.
I'm not worried about the budget anymore. The state of Ohio is going to do their thing. There's no chance we survive that. There's no chance we survive sending that to them.
Well, and maybe that... You know, nobody's asked the mayor that question.
When somebody tells you, okay, we don't like that plan, and you're already in trouble, so tell us how you're going to get out of trouble, and you send me a plan that's even worse than the first one, I'm not going to let you out of trouble. I'm going to put you in deeper trouble.
Well, and if the state does take over the city, I guess we'll see how that all goes.
This is a moot conversation anyway.
Yeah, I mean...
So, hey, guess what, Scott? Naomi Craig's going to Toledo, the federal court. I've got to get a suit nice enough to look like an attorney that day.
Oh, right. So was this not arbitrated?
May 27th, it's going to be mediated by a federal magistrate.
Oh, so the date is set.
The date is set, May 27th.
Oh, well, that'll be very nice.
Craig goes to Toledo, federal court.
Toledo, that's a very popular... You can get a hot dog at Tony Paco's.
I'm going to make a couple days of it. I've not spent much time around to Toledo, but we're going to stay right on the river, and I'm going to go up and kick the city of Marion's behind in my suit, because there's a dress code on the... Which, I mean, you know, you go to court, you look professional anyway, but there's a dress code on this court's website that tells you no shorts, no jeans, no open-toed shoes, no tennis shoes, no graphic t-shirts. I mean, it's and that's just to go in the building.
Well, you know, that's...
I'm like, wow.
Well, at least they've got a code of conduct when so many people don't have these code of conducts anymore. So that'll be very good. Now, what is the money, the number you're looking for?
I don't know. Honestly, don't know. But I don't have a number in my head. I want... Because how do you put a number on something that's still ongoing? That's my first thing. Because it hasn't ended. You know, so we're not talking about something past behavior. We're talking about current behavior that needs corrected. So one of my pushes is really going to be mandatory training for all city officials to learn how to engage properly with the public. That's going to be one of my requirements, and if they don't want to do that, then there's no deal. We're going to jury trial. So if you guys are listening right now, you might want to maybe even be proactive. Go ahead and do this training. Organize it yourself. Throw that on your matters, not on the agenda tonight. Some money for training for elected officials on how to deal with the public. And then they can look like they're being proactive when we go to court in May, and I won't have to demand this, and they won't have to hold out for it. And we can just talk money that day.
Well, it'll be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now,
I'll be going to Dillard's to get myself one of them fancy suits.
Well, there you go. You'll be all dressed up and ready to go when you get there.
Yeah,
now,
rock and roll.
Now, what do you feel about 10 a.m. this morning, the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz?
I didn't know that Britain had said they weren't backing us on this.
Yes, and let me just double check. Let's see. Yes, Britain is not supporting Trump's threatened blockade. That was at 7:38 this morning.
So, like, our only ally in this is Israel.
Apparently.
And Israel's bombing the hell out of Lebanon, and that was supposed to be part of the ceasefire. It's just bad. We should have never gotten entangled in this. The Middle East is a quagmire. It always has been. It always will be.
But apparently, J.D. Vance couldn't broker the deal there over the weekend.
That's because J.D. Vance is an ineffective, less than beta male. I don't even know why he's the vice president. What has he ever done ever? Ever?
He wrote a book.
Okay. Politically. I mean, for the nation, what has he ever done? He's done nothing. He was a senator for less than a year, I think, or maybe a year. We couldn't even remember who was the senator. I had to go back. I was like, oh, it's J.D. Vance. He was the senator.
Well, and there was also the big news this morning. I mean, even taking lead over the blockade in the USA Today this morning was the shots that the president was firing at the Pope this morning.
I did not hear this. Would you please say what he said about the Pope? And yeah. I'm not even Catholic, but my goodness, why did he attack the Pope?
Yeah, well, let me get it here, because it was an interesting tweet. All right, what? It's not a tweet. We don't even have
tweets
anymore.
I don't know what they're called. Because they're not truths. We can't call them truths.
Well, they're truth social post, I guess, is what we are saying here. But let me pull this up here. Well, what do you make, before I read this, of just truth socialing about the Pope anyway?
Okay, I'm not Catholic, and I don't hold the reverence for the Pope that the Catholics do. Like, I don't believe he's next to God or whatever, but I understand his position in the world as a holy leader, and I understand that because Catholicism is like the second largest belief in the world, belief system in the world behind Hinduism. And I probably wouldn't piss off a third of the globe by talking crap about the Pope.
Here it is. This is 8:03. I guess this would have been last night. Pope Leo is weak on crime and terrible for foreign policy. He talks about fear of the Trump administration, but doesn't mention the fear that the Catholic Church and all other Christian organizations had during COVID when they were arresting priests, ministers, and everybody else for holding church services, even when going outside and being 10 and even 20 feet apart. I like his brother, Louis, much better than I like him, because Louis is all MAGA. He gets it, and Leo doesn't. I don't want a pope who thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I don't want a pope who thinks it's terrible that America attacked Venezuela, a country that was sending massive amounts of drugs into the United States, and even worse, emptying their prisons, including murderers, drug dealers, and killers into our country. And I don't want a pope who criticizes the President of the United States because I'm doing exactly what I was elected, in a landslide, to do, setting record low numbers in crime and creating the greatest stock market in the history. Leo should be thankful because, as everyone knows, he was a shocking surprise. He wasn't on any list to be pope and was only put there by the church because he was an American, and they thought that would be the best way to deal with President Donald J. Trump. If I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican.
My God.
Unfortunately, Leo's weak on crime, weak on nuclear weapons, does not sit well with me, nor does the fact that he meets with the Obama sympathizers like David Axelrod, a loser from the left, who is one of those who wanted churchgoers and clerics to be arrested. Leo should get his act together as Pope, use common sense, stop catering to the radical left, and focus on being a great Pope, not a politician. It's hurting him very badly, and more importantly, it's hurting the Catholic Church, President Donald J. Trump.
What a rant.
Well, he's not happy with the Pope.
What an absolute tirade. Okay, isn't the Pope supposed to be against war and nuclear armaments? And, I mean, isn't he doing all the things that popes are supposed to do? Like, you know, love and anti-war and peace and that sort of stuff? Isn't that what you would expect from a holy leader?
Well, I mean, even Britain's against what's going on there right now. I mean, do we have an ally besides Israel?
No, it doesn't sound like it, which is even more terrifying.
I just find it very interesting that a president would say, if I was not the president, you would not be in the Vatican.
That's a lot of grandiosity right there.
If you are a person of the Catholic faith, and there are a lot of them, billions.
Billions.
Okay, now, what?
Hinduism is the largest religion in the world. Catholicism is it's Christianity, but Catholicism is the second.
But, I mean, the Pope does not make foreign policy. The Pope does not do any. Why attack the Pope?
That just shows you that there is no low. There isn't a level that he won't go to.
And didn't J.D. Vance just write a book on Catholicism?
Oh, I forgot Vance was a Catholic.
Yes, yes. You know, I don't know. I don't understand a lot of this. And how COVID got slipped in there, I'm not really sure.
I don't know why people still go on about COVID. The only people, I mean, if you're still bitter about something that happened 6 years ago, you need to move on with your life. I mean, unless you're suffering long-term effects from it, or you lost a loved one, you need to move on with your life. I know people that are still taking hydroxychloroquine, Scott.
Well?
I'm not kidding. And this is someone that I know that is suffering from cognitive impairments. They have Parkinson's disease, but I believe that their cognitive decline is being escalated because they're taking horse dewormer, but that's just my opinion. But I'm not going to take opinions from people that are still taking horse dewormer. But the Pope, for him to just say, you wouldn't be Pope if it weren't for me, well, that's some real grandiosity.
Well, I mean,
that whole man's life of sacrifice, you know, thank God that Donald Trump was elected, or his whole life of giving to the Catholic Church would have been for naught.
Well, he likes his brother Louis, I guess. I'm not sure. But now, back to the 86th District here. Because, you know, I'm fascinated by this endorsement by Tracy Richardson over the weekend. Because this line about...
It was Thursday night she did that. It wasn't every weekend.
Well, she did it Thursday, right? She did it Thursday, but I was not aware of it till Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the line in here where she supports Ben Weber. By the way, did you see the Ben Weber commercials that came out over the weekend?
No, like on TV?
Ben Weber's got TV commercials now, and they are very professionally done commercials.
I don't have local channels.
No, I was just surprised. This commercial came on like a Vivek Ramaswamy commercial, and
so he got some money.
He's got some money from somebody, because I saw that commercial at least five times over the weekend.
Really?
But, oh yeah, he's got some dough. But in any event, the line in here, which do we still know what this is referring to about arrest records?
I looked in Union. And there's two other counties that touch Union down there for an arrest record for Ms. Davis, and I did not find one. So it might not be her.
It might not be. Okay. Maybe it's somebody else. I mean, there are three people in the race.
Someone sent me a message and said, this is when they were trying to get me back on Wesleyan's side. I don't know why they ever thought that would work. But they said, well, don't you think it's fair... unfair how the local GOP is treating her. And then when I started looking, I was like, well, yeah, it is actually unfair if they're not taking no candidate approach, you know, they're not going to endorse anyone, then it does seem like they're being unfair to Wesleyan. That's all I said. And then suddenly it turns into, well, they're trying to use her DUI against her. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Yeah, so that's where I got that from, but I don't know. Came to me in a Facebook message.
Well, I don't...
Richardson mentioned an arrest, so...
See, I don't know that either, but again, Stephen Wolf is in this, and again, I don't want to say that it's him, because I don't know that it is. The only person I'm sure that it's probably not is Ben Weber, because she endorsed him. So I don't know what that is, and I don't know why you would slip that in an endorsement if you're not going to tell us what you're even talking about, because unless this is a well-known thing, which I'm not sure that it is.
Well, and this could have been before Wesleyan was married, and I don't know her maiden name, or, you know, or it could be the other guy, but no, I don't know what it is. So... It is pretty vague for endorsement.
Well, I guess just in the last 2 weeks, I have been... Because there was this idea for a long time that, you know, Wesleyan was going to the fish fries, and she was getting, loaning her campaign a lot of money, and she was out a lot of places. She's a very ambitious person. Very ambitious person. But then you get all these Ben Weber signs everywhere. Jack Kellogg endorses Ben Weber. Tracy Richardson finally says Ben Weber and puts
Naomi
this...
Naomi Craig endorsed Ben Weber.
And voted for Ben.
Voted for Ben.
Voted for Ben. And now these commercials, which I'm sure you can find them on the internet as well, they're very well done commercials. So, you know, here comes Ben with, I don't know how, you know, he's certainly got some pull here. He's ambitious himself. We can no longer say that Ben is not ambitious. And if you attack his age, well, guess what? Whoever's running his campaign is doing a darn fine job.
Well, here's the, at his age, what you could say is that he's well accomplished for such a young man.
Well, he certainly knows what he's doing.
They can spin that into that. Now, I see him doing now all the things that Weslin had been doing, and I don't mean like he's copycatting off of her. I think his timing is more important, because April 10th, he's out eating ice cream cones with the locals. You know what I mean? April 4th or whatever last weekend was, or this weekend, he's making appearances now, whereas she's already done all those things. People have already seen her, already went and talked to her. Now they want to go talk to the young man that they haven't met.
Well, I think the problem was, and I've said this before, for people who know Weslin, she does have a likability problem. Now, people can say that she doesn't, but I mean, you have said yourself, you're not a Republican, but the reason you voted for Ben
is
because... you're now a Republican, right, because you voted in the primary.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I transitioned over the weekend.
I don't know that they'll embrace you, but okay.
I don't care. They should.
But in any event, your reasoning for voting for Ben Weber was what?
He's not Weslin.
Okay. That's a likability problem. So, if she's got that type of a likability problem...
If I didn't think he had any capabilities whatsoever, let me preface that. If I didn't think he had any capabilities whatsoever, I would have left it blank. So.
Right. But, I mean, the likability problem, I don't think Ben Weber has a likability problem.
No.
And that, in the end...
He's not made any political enemies.
No, and she has. And she's she's made enemies a lot of places. And and that's the problem when it's burned down the bridge to get one group to support you, is that, you know, it's
at the risk of ostracizing everyone else.
Yes, it becomes a very big likability problem. And Ben Weber, now I'm not saying Ben and I are warm and fuzzy. We haven't talked for quite a long time, and I don't see him coming on the show because I don't think he wants to talk about Iran or President Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy right now, but the door is open for you, Ben. By the way, the door is open for you, Weslin. I mean, it's fine if you want to come on.
And all the county commissioners, right? We can
absolutely
hear from all four of them if they would like to come on.
Well, I'm
already voted, but let the other people listen.
Well, I'm kind of...
We all know how I'm voting, but nail everybody on the issues. And
because...
all the hard questions.
Well, because we're doing election coverage, I wanted to get all these interviews, people who will do them, close to May 5th as possible.
Okay.
Because I do believe the majority of people will still vote Election Day.
I don't want to say the majority. I asked the ladies when I went and voted Friday. They said early voting has seen a pretty good turnout. But a lot of people that I'm talking to also like going on Election Day. It's still like a holiday to them.
It's good weather in spring.
A tradition. They said they see people that they might not normally see throughout the year, you know, that sort of thing. So it's an event to them. So yes, there is still time for votes to be swayed.
Well, and also the conversations that we will have on primary night hopefully would be more current if these people came on. And I think a lot of them will, unless things get really bad between now and then.
So you have the invites out, is what you're saying.
To some people, but I will get them out to all people.
Okay, your listeners are depending on you to RSVP for us, Spears.
Yes. But again, as I say, Weslin, you're invited. Ben, you're invited. Steven, you're invited. And all the county commissioner candidates will be invited. Now, that being said, one more thing I wanted to touch on here on the state news. Did you see the Amy Acton news over the weekend?
I heard about it briefly. There was some sort of domestic... situation at her house at some point.
Let me just run through this real quick, because I think this is call for conversation, because this morning I got something from her campaign which I thought was kind of interesting. Here's what happened. NBC News, by the way, over the weekend.
She has been on your show, right?
She has been on the show, yes.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So,
I knew I'd heard her. I thought it was on your show.
Yeah, so no joke here. In August 2019, police in Bexley responded to a report of a domestic dispute at the home of Dr. Amy Acton. Acton, then the director of the state's Department of Health, now a Democratic candidate for governor, pulled a mirror off a wall, shattering the glass, when she became upset because she felt her husband was antagonizing her, according to the police report. She told officers she had been drinking, had taken an unknown amount of prescription drugs, and was about to drive away in her car before her husband, who also told police he had been drinking, talked her out of it, the report stated. A medic dispatched to check on Acton recommended that she go to the hospital, but Acton refused. According to the police report, police determined that there was no evidence of physical violence between Acton and her husband, only a verbal argument over her extended work hours. Her campaign on Friday disputed and sought to clarify several elements of the police report. Acton and her husband had returned home from dinner, where she had one drink, according to the campaign's written response to the article. During a verbal disagreement regarding her long work hours, Acton bumped into a wall hanging, which fell, the campaign said. She then went to bed and was asleep when police arrived, according to the campaign. Officers were dispatched to the home at 9:45 p.m., according to the police report, which does not indicate how they were alerted to the incident. Acton's campaign said she was not intoxicated at any point during the evening, and that the prescription medications referenced in the police report were ones that she had taken regularly for years. The campaign also disputed that there was any reason for Acton to go to the hospital, asserting that any harm, injury, or impairment would have been noted in the police report. Now, here's the important part. Amy Acton worked around the clock on behalf of Ohioans as the health director, and DeWine's office is not happy about this. The 2019 incident at Acton's home has until now not been reported.
7 years ago.
Well, but now listen to what DeWine says here. It was not something widely known, if it was known at all, inside the DeWine administration. The governor, according to his spokesperson, was not happy to learn of the matter for the first time from NBC News. This is what DeWine said.
Do you go to work and say, oh my God, my husband and I got into a fight last night, the cops got called, a mirror got broken, oh, it was such a mess. I mean, is that at that level of importance?
Well, this is what he said.
But at that level of importance, do you go to work and tell your boss that kind of stuff happened?
Well,
or do you just like, oh my God, I hope this... No one ever finds out about this.
Well, he said, prior to your inquiry, Governor DeWine was unaware of both the 2019 incident and the associated police report involving Dr. Acton. The spokesperson, Dan Tierney, wrote in an email response to the questions. The governor holds his staff to the highest standards of conduct. Given that the allegations in the report are deeply troubling, Governor DeWine would have expected Dr. Acton to have, at the time, promptly disclosed this to him, and he is very disappointed that did not occur. Okay.
So when him and Franny have fought, has he gone and told at work every time? Because how many times do these, and I'm not saying it's happened to DeWine, but how many times do these law enforcement and these elected officials or whatever get the cops called to their house and nothing ever happens because they're elected officials or law enforcement or whatever?
Well,
somebody that's not one of them, the cops come to your house because you and your family are fighting. No one was arrested. They didn't say she was on illegal drugs.
Well,
it was 7 years ago. I mean, if they'd been beaten on each other, it's a different situation.
Well,
if her husband was antagonizing her, I've thrown things back in the day. I don't throw things anymore. I haven't in like 15 years. But in my much younger years, I've thrown a remote. I've thrown a phone.
This came out early Saturday morning. Now, Acton's campaign did not respond till this morning. So 48 hours it took them to respond, which I thought was interesting. Now, this is their response. I'm not going to read the thing in whole, but this came early this morning. It said, Acton's campaign manager released the following statement. He said, in a new low for his campaign, Vivek Ramaswamy and his allies dishonestly attempted to smear Amy for a private verbal disagreement between her and her husband, to whom she has been happily married for 16 years. We were shocked and disgusted to see Ramaswamy's allies shame Amy for being sexually abused as a child. In 1994, Amy honestly answered a question on her medical licensure application that she had sought therapy because of her childhood experience. While that question is no longer on medical license applications in Ohio because it was found to deter applicants from seeking the treatment they need, Amy is proud of the fact that she has not got the help that she got the help that she needed and encourages anyone with similar experiences to do so. But here's what I don't understand.
It spun that around nicely, didn't it?
Well, here's what I don't understand. I'm looking for the story of where Ramaswamy's people attacked her for seeking treatment. I cannot find that story. And I don't see Ramaswamy's campaign saying anything in this NBC article. And, I don't know what?
I mean, did they do it and take it down?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little confused by that, because the acting
campaign... Or did they just slip in trauma survivor?
Well, the acting campaign is clearly saying that this is in response to this NBC article, but then they go off on a whole different tangent about something, about her something she put on her licensure report. But, okay, here's the problem. The campaign responded to this kind of wobbly, because, you know, here's the problem. She bumped into the wall and the mirror fell off, and somehow that ended into the...
More if she knocked it off a shelf. I would relate with that more as a human being, you know what I mean? Like, she was pissed and she knocked something off a shelf. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it happened.
Well, and I don't think the Bexley Police Department would have any knowledge in 2019 that she's going to run for governor. This is pre-COVID. I doubt they even knew who she was. So, the fact that, you know, the reports...
The contact to my son was in the third grade, and now he can drive.
Right. I mean, that the quotes in the report are that shattering the glass of the pulled mirror off the wall...
I mean, she didn't hold it to his throat or anything, you know? It's not like she stabbed him with it, and people needed... And when they come to your house, an ambulance, they always recommend you go to the hospital. I've had seizures at home, and they've called 911, and I declined to go to the hospital. They always recommend that you do. So... there may be absolutely nothing wrong with you, but they'll say, you should go get checked out. That's part of the
This dovetails to me with the whole Tracy Richardson thing. Because, you know, she's talking about history of arrests. Now, Dr. Acton was not arrested, but the police came out to her home. And again, I don't know that Weslin had a DUI. We don't know anything. But again, alcohol involved. People don't like that. And this is...
I don't know. Marion doesn't seem to matter.
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll find out on May the 5th. But I just think that this is not good for the Acton campaign. I don't know why they didn't disclose this. They had to know that this was going to come out at some point. And
I can't believe it hasn't came out before now with this, all the hatred that she got from COVID.
Well, I guess it seems to me that the COVID attacks are not working, so now they've gone to this. And here we are.
If she hadn't said she bumped into the, you know, and that's somewhat believable, but if she just had owned it and said it wasn't as bad as they made it out to be, yes, we were arguing, clearly we're still together, we love each other, no one injured each other, we've learned how to deal with our issues better now.
Well, it says she pulled the mirror off the wall. That's what the police report says.
Yeah, I haven't ripped anything off walls. I can't say I've done that, so.
I don't know, but I certainly think that, listen, don't want to traumatize anybody, certainly not in 2019, but, you know, I certainly think she better get out and answer this, and I don't think this press release is the best way to do it. And the fact that it took them 48 hours to get this press release together tells me that there was some...
I don't think it's going to hurt her that much, though. I mean, it would not make me say, oh, I'm voting for Vivek. That's what they think.
No, I don't think it throws people in Vivek's category, but like we were talking about on Friday, I think it might make some people leery of her, because up until this point, she's had a pretty clandestine campaign, except for COVID, and COVID everybody already knows about.
Hey, all the women can understand your husband antagonizing you to the point you want to throw things.
Well, yeah, we're going to break and we're going to talk about all this next hour, because there's much more to talk about here.
Bye, Scott.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
And with the same line, well, get ready, because it's now time to play Bozo's Grand Prize. Well, one day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish,